All right, Dave Player on 720 WGN. So NBC Chicago Franchise are some of the hottest shows on television. The season finale of Chicago PD, entitled Fork in the Road, will air on Wednesday, May 17th at 9 Central. And Harvey's very own Royce Hawkins joins us tonight. How you doing, buddy?
I can't complain, Dave. You know it's always a pleasure grooving with you, Doc.
Always, always, always. All these Chicago shows work hard at truly reflecting life in Chicago, and you can't get any better than having a cast member that actually grew up in the Chicagoland area, because Harvey's your hometown.
Yeah, man. Born and raised.
Born and raised.
Born and raised. Proud of it.
Now, when the first time I met you, you're funny as hell. You know, I mean, I know you're doing these dramatic parts, but you're a funny, funny guy.
I appreciate that.
And you do all this dramatic stuff, but you also did a lot of stand-up in college, right?
Yeah, I did a lot of stand-up in college. That's where I cultivated, my rhythm, so to speak. And then, but I started off in high school when I was on the speech team at Thornton. I won state, actually. I was blessed to win state in original comedy and humorous duet acting.
That's awesome.
So I think, I guess just the gift of laughter or that funny bone was touched, right around then, like right before I graduated high school. That's when I started doing stand-up and improvising with partners of mine. And it just grew from there, man, and I picked up acting. I like to think, kind of on the back end of the gift, but it ended up being the bread and butter, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And but I don't even really separate the situations, to be honest with you, Dave. I mean, between comedy, acting, poetry, I'm a do spoken word as well. I'm involved in a lot of music also. So
yeah.
I just don't really separate the gift. For me, it's just all one thing. And I just, take pieces from whatever I need, and depending on what I'm doing.
And then you're doing PD now 4 years. You just were renewed for the fifth season, so congrats.
I appreciate
for that.
Yeah, man, we're excited about season 5. You know, the first thing I do, every time we get picked up for a season, I'm just blessed to even be able to say every time we get picked up for a season. But I called my grandma. She's the first call I made.
Oh, that's cool.
So as soon as I just found out, I gave my grandma a call, and she's like even happier and happier every time. The reaction is so beautiful.
So proud of you, I assume, and encouraging you all your life, right?
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely.
I love that. In PD, it makes it clear that there's no black or white, and every character has their mm-hmm. good and bad sides. What are the good and bad sides of your character?
I think one of the best things about him is how loyal he is to his family and even people who he considers family, like everybody on his team.
Yeah.
You know, like Intelligence is his family. Atwater takes care of his little sister and brothers, so that's his family. And he's extremely loyal to them. You know, I don't think it's anything he wouldn't do, lay his life down on the line even for anybody who he considers family.
Bad sides?
Yeah, bad sides, man. I think Atwater for whatever reason, man, he can't find a girl, man. He can't. he might not be the,
What's that
the
all
best,
about?
He might not be the best with the ladies, man. And I can't say that LaRoyce is either. So I can't say I got too much to teach Atwater.
That's funny. I think they got to write. They got to write some love interest in here for
you.
They'll
figure it out, man.
Season 5.
They've been doing a great job at allowing me to. I've been noticing. And my grandma even made this comment today. She said, you've really grown a lot. And I think I've been able to grow because they've been, throwing subtle nuances of, LaRoyce Hawkins and his actual journey in the mix.
I was going to say that at some point you must have noticed that your own personality coming out in the writing, because I've gotten to know you over the years. And so, there's obviously a little bit of LaRoyce in this character and mm-hmm. how they write it.
Yeah, absolutely. So... And I think as I'm starting to get comfortable with just shedding those parts of LaRoyce Hawkins away and letting him get into Atwater, it's the character grows, and so I'm just thankful for the opportunity. And it doesn't help that I got an amazing cast of people to work with.
Yeah,
I learned
really
from the greatest actors in the world.
Great ensemble. Great ensemble.
Yeah.
You get to meet obviously a lot of police officers while you're working in the city, because you're actually working outside beyond the studio,
mm-hmm.
and all kinds of insultants too. Luce being one of them.
Yeah,
I know,
Ryan,
just
Luke.
Big smile on your face. Right, as soon
as you
say
that. Person, man. He's, I honestly accredit him the big reason why I'm on the show.
That's cool.
Yeah. When I met him, when we were just toying with the idea of Chicago PD, and we were a backdoor pilot on Fire.
That's right.
I met Luce back then with that original cast. And, the stories he told me, bro, and the passion that just came from his from his eyes, man. I mean, he was crying at me with a straight face,
yeah,
telling me these stories about, you know, some of his undercover assignments and just comrades that he's had on the job. And I was like, wow, I didn't know, you know. And it was in that moment that I became extremely excited to tell those stories. Like, yeah, he, as an actor, he makes you just really want to just embody as much of that energy as you can.
Yeah, because it makes it real.
Yeah.
It makes it a little bit more relatable, especially for the people who live here and work in that profession. They want it to feel real and not Hollywood, you know?
Uh-huh, absolutely.
A couple months ago, there was a very big focus on your character on Chicago Justice. That must have been pretty gratifying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, come on, bro. Yeah. I didn't know that was going to be like the biggest episode of my life.
It was. It was.
It pretty much was.
And it was Carl Weathers, working with Carl Weathers.
Oh, man, Carl Weathers is amazing. He picks right? on me all the time. You know what I'm saying? And I never get it. Because, you know, Carl Weathers, he's just the classiest man I know. Like class personified, yeah, honestly. And
it's a legend.
And he's a legend. And it's like, I'll show up and then he'll say something and like start laughing. And I'm like, I don't understand why he's laughing, but I know he's picking on me a little bit and I don't get it yet, but maybe I'll grow up and I'll figure it out. But Carl Weathers is amazing. What's funny, I actually met Mr. T.
Oh, that's cool.
At an interview, I met Mr. T. You know, Mr. T.
When he was doing Dancing with the Stars,
Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. And so Mr. T and Carl Weathers know each other from, back in the old Rocky days.
Yeah.
And Mr. T, he has so much energy, man. He was like powerful, positive energy. And he wanted me to, you know, give Carl Weathers a message. And he was like, man, you tell that fool I told him to give me a call.
That's awesome.
And then Mr. T gave me his number, but it was Mr. T's son's number.
Okay.
Because Mr. T doesn't. He's like, Mr. T don't got a cell phone.
Okay.
You got to call. You got to get through the. You got to get through the son to reach the father.
Okay.
It's like Jesus. And I was like, wow, Mr. T.
Like Jesus. Yeah, he puts himself like up Jesus. There, doesn't
he? I said, yeah. Okay. And so he wrote down his son's number for me.
That's awesome.
And I found it the next day, and I was like, what is this piece of paper in my pocket? And I look up, and it's Mr. T's son's number, but it doesn't say his son's name. It literally says Mr. T's son.
Wow.
And Mr. T wrote it.
That's awesome.
I don't know if Mr.
That's
T
awesome.
Knows his son's name.
Another
actually.
Legendary guy. And from Chicago, right?
And from Chicago, yeah.
But these crossovers, Justice, you're on all of them, you know.
Yeah.
It's fun for the audience, I think, to see it, but it's probably pretty cool to be able to work with some of your colleagues from these other shows on a regular basis, right?
Yeah. It gives us a great opportunity, you know, to visit the other sets. It's kind of like going to your cousin's house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, you're about to come over there.
It is family.
Yeah, and get a good meal. But, you know, you get to see some people and work with some people that you don't really get to sit down with that often. And they're still family, so it was great.
And now we're at the end of the fourth season. What are we going to see as the season comes to a close here? I know you taped it weeks ago already, but...
Yeah, man. But, I mean, it gets dark. It gets dark, and, you know, we like to take certain characters toward the ends of these seasons and like just watch them spiral, you know. We find that the audience really like they take hold to that kind of energy, so you're going to see a lot of that, you know. I'm not going to tell you exactly who, but there's going to be some pretty unlikely suspects, I guess, on our end of things, that find themselves in like this conundrum. Of whether to do right or wrong. So yeah, but it's going to be a good time, though.
Awesome.
You know.
Looking forward to that. Well, stick around. Let's talk comedy when we come back. We're talking to LaRoyce Hawkins of NBC's Chicago PD. There's more with him next on 720 WGN. Dave, back with you on 720 WGN. We're talking to LaRoyce Hawkins of Chicago PD. It's a four-season finale. Airs Wednesday on NBC. You're a damn funny guy. I've seen you do stand up. I've come to a couple fundraisers where you're headlining. When you were growing up, who were some of the comedians that inspired you, that you looked at and said, I want to be like that guy or that gal?
One of my first influences was Jamie Foxx.
Okay. All right.
Because Jamie had this dope way of like taking familiar songs or music that, you know, that everybody already liked, and just rewriting the words and making it pretty hilarious. It was even a bit that he did about the Brady Bunch that, like, I memorized and, like, even added, like, extra characters to it.
Familiar.
But he was seeing
the
Brady Bunch as Luther Vandross, Prince, a baby face, you know what I'm saying? And then, and I would do that bit, like around friends and family, and, you know, I gained confidence.
So you're picking up some of this,
Yeah, and then I added Ray Charles to it because I was, you know.
Yeah, you do a mean Ray Charles impersonation.
Yeah, and so I was, and, you know, that really gave me my confidence because it was something within my own vein. I grew up singing in the choir. And so for me to be able to take music and apply it to jokes helped me out. So I would do stuff. I did all my comedy at church originally.
Nice.
So I would take songs like classics like His Eyes on the Sparrow and take the Jamie Foxx concept and then sing that like Marvin Gaye. For the crowd, just rewrite it to like I Heard Through the Grapevine or something like that. And, you know, those jokes play well at, you know, family functions and churches and stuff.
But it gives you the confidence, as you say. Yeah. Who is there someone in your family that you would consider funny, dry, that you maybe picked some of this stuff up from?
My dad is pretty hilarious.
Okay.
And he's one of those cats that's like real funny and kind of like just speaks and quotes and punchlines and doesn't even notice it. It's like effortless.
I
don't think he's ever really tried to say a joke. But
it just comes natural.
It just comes naturally. And my mom is probably the silliest person I know. Like if I'm a goof troop, it's that's some energy I think I picked up from my mom a little bit.
That's cool.
Yeah, she's adorable though, but she's hilarious.
Now, the subject matter that you come up with when you're on stage, are you prepared with a lineup of things to talk about? Are you looking out in the crowd and just throwing what comes to your mind? Because it works both ways. Yeah.
I like to. I like to do a little bit of both, especially in my sets or in my shows. I like to make them like real personal. So if it's a production that I've thrown on, I make it so personal with the audience. Like I'm calling people out by name in the middle of stories or in the middle of jokes that I'm telling, just so because I think it makes the whole crowd feel a lot more intimate.
Yeah,
whether
doing a routine that you're doing in California, doing it in a New York bar or whatever it might be. Yeah. You're doing it custom to the crowd.
So I try to keep it loose and keep it tight on stage. Yeah. So I know what I'm about to come up here and say, but I keep it loose enough to be able to ride with the energy, depending on what's going on.
I'm going to bait you a little bit because I know you had in Harvey, you had a pet duck.
Yeah.
Duke. Tell me about, man, Duke.
Duke was my homie. You don't understand.
Yeah.
You don't understand, Dave.
Yeah.
But Duke, my dad, I think it might have been my 10th or 11th Easter, my dad bought me a duck. And the way the story goes, he actually bought me three ducks, but like the raccoons in the neighborhood, who are really just gangbangers, stole two of them. And left me with the one.
They are gangbangers.
Yeah, they just gangbang. Even the squirrels. They're not really squirrels. They're just athletic rats. They can jump high and they climb trees.
Yeah.
But they're not. I don't believe they're squirrels. So make a long story longer, it was hard to have a duck in the hood because the squirrels and the raccoons and, they would jump them. You know, and imagine walking your duck down the street and you got pit bulls barking at your duck.
Yeah.
You know, from their fences, and my duck is quacking back, and it's just become a thing.
Yeah.
So we ultimately had to take Duke to this pond in a suburb nearby that had like a bunch of other ducks.
Good.
So that, you know, you can be a duck by, in freedom.
And,
it was one of the saddest days of my life.
I bet it was. Yeah.
He just kept on following me back to the car.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Wow. Like Elvis used to throw his towel out into the crowd after a performance, you take the toothpick and you just whip it out to people? That's your signature, man.
I haven't done that. No, it's too big of a signature. And actually, I got like a
I don't see any today, but
I got toothpicks on me right here. It's like vibe.
That's your thing.
Yeah, these are Denison toothpicks.
Ooh, that's
good
stuff.
Just got these for my birthday.
Those are built like trees.
Yeah, they're built like, this is a white birch wood.
I like that.
Yeah, and it's like, you know.
Gibsons have got some good toothpicks too. You could
oh, yeah,
try
Gibsons
to break
have,
them over
yeah,
your
yeah,
leg.
Gibsons, yeah, that's a quality toothpick over there. You gotta believe I know. That's a quality toothpick over there.
I know you
know. But these Dandersons are dope.
Cool. Do you see yourself? You know, you're doing drama, a lot of drama right now. Do you see yourself like expand a little more in the world of comedy? Do you want to do some movies, some comedies, some sitcom appearances?
I can't wait for that.
I see that as the next step.
I kind of do too.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, even with the subtle nuances that Chicago PD is throwing in my character, it's kind of allowing me to truly make that segue, I think, appropriately, you know. I don't know. You know, I've always loved, like, you know, romantic comedies. And, you know, when I won state in a speech my junior year, you know, I wrote, like, this romantic comedy for myself, basically, where, you know, I didn't buy my girlfriend anything for Valentine's Day and went through this journey of Shakespeare, Dr. Seuss, and Ray Charles teaching me how to write her a poem.
Wow.
And I don't know. It's like I've always kind of, I think the confidence that I got from that, you know, I think I've always felt my, looked at myself in a very comfortable way being able to do things like that.
Sure.
You know, like and romantic comedies.
And now you're headlining this event coming up, the Agora Sneaker Ball on Saturday, May 20th, where you'll be doing, you know, you'll be holding the house down. Tell me a little bit about this.
Yeah, so the Agora Sneaker Ball is probably my favorite event to host every year. And this is only my second year doing it.
Yeah, cool.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how excited I am for the event moving forward. But it's all the brainchild of one of my best friends in the city. His name is Justin Johnson. Justin Johnson founded this not-for-profit called Kicks for the City, which is basically a not-for-profit that was going to use all of his efforts to give the homeless shoes during the winter months, you know.
Cool.
So it's like a big shoe drive.
Yep.
Where we collect lightly used or, you know, donated shoes and, you know, everybody has warm shoes for the winter. But we've extended our grind by reaching out to brands like Nike, Adidas, Jordan, Puma, Athlete's Foot, Gentleman's Jack. They've all become very, very excited about our movement. And now they're donating not just their time, but their dollars also into allowing us to help students in temporary living situations.
Okay. So some more of a year-round thing.
Yeah, so it's more of a year-round thing. Students now, you know, who are on hard times are able to get the shoes that are fashionable, you know, shoes that are dope.
Yeah.
The ones that they want, not just some shoes that are handed
that
down.
That you got left over.
Exactly.
Else, I gotcha.
Because I don't know, my favorite thing about Kicks for the City is that, like, I think they really get the bottom line, is that, you know, these kicks create more than just compliments. They create confidence, you know.
Gotcha. Okay.
So as long as, you know, the kid is that's going to school isn't worried about somebody picking on them, or isn't worried about having to fit in, because, you know, when you're that young, and, you know,
well, kids are rough, man,
and kids are that rough, that's anxiety for you, you know what I'm saying? And it shouldn't be in the grand scheme of things, but that's anxiety for a kid to go to school and to not really be confident in what's on their feet.
But, I mean, with a cool pair of shoes, I mean, if that just brings you just a little bit of more confidence, then you've done the right thing.
Yeah,
right?
So the Sneaker Ball is this big charitable event where, you know, a very diverse group of different kinds of networks, you know, actually get together and they donate their time and they donate their funds. It's like a lot of charitable, like auctionable items that are going to be there. I'm going to be hosting. There's going to be a live band, DJ.
Nice.
You know, step and repeat, activation stations from all these different shoe brands.
Cool.
Coming together and, you know, putting together one dope experience.
Awesome. And
we'll
put the link on our website as well. But it's the Agora Sneaker Ball, and that's Saturday, May 20th. And then you're, of course, doing some stand-up. You're on hiatus for a little while, so you get a little time off for yourself, but you're going to still keep your foot in the comedy door, right?
Yeah, man, I have to, bro. I have to. Yeah. I think I'm going to be at Comedy Bar tomorrow, and then I'm hosting another comedy show at Hidden Shamrock. I got gigs all weekend, and
cool.
Be doing some traveling probably to L.A. in June.
Awesome.
Doing some comedy shows out there, yeah.
And you'll throw that up on Facebook and Twitter so we can follow you.
Yeah, all of that be on my social media at Royce the Voice, yeah.
Love that. Okay, cool. And I'll tell you, the season finale, again, season 4, they just got renewed for season 5. Chicago PD airs this Wednesday on NBC. Thanks, buddy.
Man, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure, Dave.
All right, top stories are next on 720 WGN.